Did you know Nationwide is so much more than a great insurance company? They're one of America's largest financial services companies. Like how I'm more than just quarterback Peyton Manning, I'm also meditating Manning. Omaha. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
This is the Freddie and Harry Podcast on ESPN Radio.
And welcome to the best show on your radio, the Love Friday edition of Freddie and Harry. I'm Freddie Coleman. He is Harry Douglas. We're here on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Do not forget about us and tune in. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Fridays are never, ever complete unless we bring our FOS friend of this show, Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN NFL draft expert. Great follow on Twitter, Mel Kiper, ESPN. Your Fridays are not complete without Mel kicking it off when it comes to big football week and about college football, and also when it comes to the NFL on Sunday. I'm going to start college football real quick, Mel. When it comes to Carson Beck, Georgia quarterback, they're about to play Tennessee. In your eyes, what has gone on with him that he has regressed to this point? And Georgia needs him to be the opposite of that when they play Tennessee tomorrow.
I think a couple things, guys. I think Freddie and Harry, great to be with you. I think it's the clean pocket or lack of. When you're used to it and you don't get it, how do you deal with it? When you're used to having Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, granted they had some injuries last year, but they were the guys that you could count on. But that really, that offensive line. And I think a quarterback in the NFL has to deal with a cluttered pocket. Okay, a lot of things going on around him, and he's got to feel it and sense it. When you have a clean pocket, that's what a lot of these guys have in college, it's a lot easier. And all these short throws, they're getting the ball out quick. When you have to hold it a little longer, but you're getting pressure, how do you deal with that? He's been inconsistent. Now, granted, to his credit, he's bounced back. He's had some games where he was awful, and then he got better. But I think it's not having to deal with something last year that he has to deal with now for the first time. Yeah. And I think it's been a little bit of a rude awakening. I think it's also not having those two key elements that were so good. Think about Bowers and McConkey. They've transitioned pretty quickly to the National Football League, and they were really great players in college. And when you have that security blanket, and then you know you have those five guys up front that are going to keep you clean, they're going to allow you to run the football and be balanced and keep defenses off balance, and you don't have that, how do you deal with it? And in this particular case, he showed that, hey, you know, when everything was going good, he was really good. I mean, he had a high grade going into this year, but now that grade, because what you're seeing in college is what he's going to see in the NFL, and he hasn't dealt with it well over a four-quarter period in some of these games.
Yeah, his decision-making has been iffy this season, but also, like you just mentioned, Mel, everything starts with their offensive line, and the offensive line being consistent has led to the inability of the run game not being able to get going. You look at last week versus Ole Miss, but also when I look at the supporting cast, right, I see people looking around hoping that someone else makes the play instead of just saying, you know what, damn it, I'm going to be the guy that makes the play. When you look at this Georgia football team and their skill position players, you know, they have 27 drops right now. That's fourth in college football, the fourth most drops right now. We're talking about a program that won back-to-back national championships at one point and was trying to three-peat a season ago. And then in 2024, they're trying to overcome what they weren't able to do last season. So it's multiple things, in my opinion, when it comes to this Georgia offense, but it mainly stems from that offensive line. Now, enough of UGA mail. We're going to get to Shedeur Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes.
Went from cloudy to sunny here, really quickly.
Exactly.
Real quick, too.
Which team makes more sense for Shedeur Sanders, and could you see him and Deion being a package deal?
I can't. I think when you look at where we are right now with the Raiders, it depends where they're picking, because you're going to have to be picking, and it's always the case. You're going to have to be picking number one. If you're picking number one, you can make that deal, say Jacksonville, then you make that deal. If you feel you have your quarterback, Trevor is their guy, fine. The Giants, obviously, Tennessee has to figure out that they want the bridge to Levis. Does Levis show enough the rest of the way? Or are they going to get a bridge quarterback and then go with him? What's Cleveland going to do? The Raiders, you talk about Carolina. All these teams could be in the mix. And then you had the Raiders who missed out last year by sitting at 13 and not moving up. So will they have to do that here to get Shedeur? I think Shedeur and Deion to the Raiders, I don't know. I can't. But I hear this whole Dallas thing. I'd go Bill Belichick. I think Belichick, you know, to get that record, I think is going to be attractive to Bill. He's kept himself relevant. He's been out there in the media doing all his thing. I think that would be a ready-made team that has a chance to do some real damage with Belichick there. And I think Jerry Jones, hey, you tried that route. He brought Parcells in back in the day. So right. I would think Belichick to Dallas would make more sense. The Deion package deal with Shador to maybe the Raiders. You know, Tom Brady's going to have an influence there. He's got that connection with Shador. So maybe the Raiders could be that spot. But I don't think the Dallas Cowboys would be the right spot for Deion. I think that would be more Belichick.
Great stuff by Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN NFL draft expert on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Because normally, if a quarterback could go number one, teams would consider tanking. We had Suck for Luck. I don't know if we're going to have be demure for Shador. I don't know if that's going to happen involving teams right now in college football and the National Football League. But many people believe Travis Hunter is going to be the number one player in next year's draft. So what's the likelihood that if you're an NFL team and you got a potential singular talent like that, that you may want to slide back a little bit in 2024 when it comes to trying to win games to be available to take him at number one in 2025?
Yeah, problem is, as Harry knows, Freddie, you guys are playing for their jobs, for their livelihood, and they're not really worrying about next year because they may not be there next year. And these coaches, who knows where they'll be? These organizations could change dramatically. But I do think Travis is still, based on the rankings today, and I just updated them yesterday, he's mm-hmm. number one on the board. That has been maintained all year. Now, who's number two? It's kind of up for debate because Will Johnson's hurt. Mykel Williams, coming off the injury, hasn't been dominant week to week like you hoped he would. Okay, Kelvin Banks had a rough game at offensive tackle, that left tackle spot. There's Shador. Shador, because of that, is why Shador is moving up and up and up, and he's going to be overdrafted. I'm at seven right now. By the time we get to late April, everybody's going to have him as the consensus second best player in this draft, probably right behind Travis or right there with Travis, the two teammates. So I think when we get to that point, guys, I think you will see Travis Hunter go somewhere in the top three, but number one's going to be probably reserved for that quarterback, Shador Sanders, and it's going to either be the team that picking number one's going to take him, or the team picking number one's going to trade it and maybe move down to a point where they can get a Travis Hunter, because Champ Bailey, I think, went seventh, right? Yeah. Charles Woodson didn't go in the top five when he came out, and that's a comparable type of player to what Travis is. So maybe this year you get the 3-4 and Travis Hunter's still on the board.
So here's a unique situation when it comes to tanking. So for all our listeners listening right now, players and coaches don't think that way. To players and coaches, mm-hmm. they haven't thought that way today. They don't think that way. They will not think that way in the future. They won't think that way back when football first started. They never will. Now, when you get to a general manager and a owner perspective, bearing that general manager job isn't on the line.
Sure.
And I'm going to name a team right now who probably needs to tank to have the number one overall pick. It's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders, because when you're looking at division right now, the AFC West, Patrick Mahomes is with Kansas City, Justin Herbert is with the Los Angeles Chargers, and Bo Nix is with the Denver Broncos. You can ill afford to be the only team in that division because you don't have a fighting chance in hell to compete with it if you don't have your quarterback. Mel, what are your thoughts on that one?
I think the Raiders are the team that, remember, the Jaden Daniels connection to Antonio Pierce, right? Going back to the Arizona State days, right? So that was all, hey, he's got to figure out a way to be a Raider, right? Jaden Daniels does. And Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. Look what's happened with Kingsbury now. May springboard that off to being a coordinator or head coach somewhere else. So I think it worked out great for Jaden. But that was what we all talked about, or everybody rumored in the media about Jaden and the Vegas Raiders being the perfect match. Now it's Shador and the Raiders being the perfect match. So I'm with you on the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to sit here this year and say, we are not letting what happened last year repeat itself this season.
Right.
And this draft, we are going to go up and get that guy. It took to go up. If it had proposed a trade, then this past draft could have gone from 13 maybe up into the top 8 and gotten him. But they thought they could sit where they were at 13. It didn't work out that way. They were all gone, all six of them. So for Shador, I do think, hey, it could still work out with their picking one, right? So it makes it easy. But I do think you're right, Harry. I think the Raiders are the one because of that Brady connection. Shador is he basically patterns himself. If you watch him, he's got a lot of Brady in him, the way he plays. Pocket, recognizing, slip and slide and left and right, mm-hmm. picking up the first down when he has to, but having his eyes down the field, being a guy who's tough as nails and can give you all that and smart. Shador has a lot of that. So I do think the ideal fit, and in that division, they got to hit that quarterback. You can't be fourth in a division, particularly in the AFC.
Yeah.
You have no shot to be in the playoffs when you're at the fourth best team in the division at quarterback. And ironically, this is the last team to beat the Chiefs on Christmas Day last year, was this Raider team that we're talking about doesn't have a quarterback. So it's amazing how this league is. But I do think the Raiders would be the team come late April that somehow, some way, has to figure out a way, after not picking number one, to get to that spot and get Shador Sanders.
The always terrific Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN NFL draft expert on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. We've seen running backs, I don't want to say having a renaissance. I call it people reemerging them in their minds in terms of how important they are to the position when it comes to quarterback in your offense. How much will we see from Saquon Barkley, the Eagles, and also Derrick Henry, the Baltimore Ravens? Could help Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty when it comes to being selected next year.
Well, what team are these guys on? They're not on there with the original team, right? So that, you know, you think about McCaffrey, not on the original. Fournette was not on the original team when he won a Super Bowl, you know, in Tampa. So you think about all these guys that are there doing great jobs. And I've never said the position has been minimized. I've never said that. I just said I wouldn't take one in the first round because you don't have to. You just don't have to. You're going to 38 running backs right now. And I had it at 42, but I'm thinking a couple of those guys could go back. So let's say 38 have draftable grades right now.
Okay.
38 running backs playing college football, and a couple are all banged up right now, but 38 in total. Most of those running backs are going to go from the second to seventh round or be undrafted and be priority free agents. So, yes, Ashton Jeanty is a special one, right? He's going to be up there where Bijan was and where Fournette and where McCaffrey and all those different guys were. He's going to be somewhere in that top 10 to 12. Remember, Gurley still went high despite having the injury. So I do think he's special enough. Saquon went top of the draft. He's special enough to be maybe not top three in this draft, but he's certainly special enough to be top 10.
I would say this also about Ashton Jeanty. What helps him out is that his offensive coordinator is a guy named Dirk Cutter, who was a head coach in the NFL and also an offensive coordinator in the NFL. That's going to pay major dividends when these NFL GMs and head coaches and owners go into that building. But, Mel, this is a very special week.
Now,
I'm entwined with this Falcons-Saints rivalry, but there's another rivalry in football right now. I think they call it the Ravens versus the Steelers. Mel, tell the people what that game means to you.
It's everything. I mean, this is Red Sox Yankees. Okay, this is what it is. This is any college rivalry you pick it. This is as huge as any of them. Auburn, the Iron Bowls, whatever you want to tell you. Ohio State, Michigan. This is it. This is it. And the Steelers. And hey, I'm in a family here. Brother-in-law Alex coming down today. Steeler fan. Lauren. Even Blakely. Blakely will be a Raven fan, not a Steeler fan. I will guarantee you that. But you know, there's no Myron Cope, terrible towels down here. He's going to try. No, Alex is going to do it. He's going to bring a few, okay, down here this weekend. And I'm going to have to throw them out into the Chesapeake Bay, okay? And they'll be floating around out there this weekend. All I can tell you is, I got a Steeler hat somewhere in here. He brings. I have to deal with that in this family. But this game is monumental. It means everything. And they always have that one game at the end of the year that's usually inconsequential with somebody. They don't care. Now this one actually matters. Right. Now we have another one later, but to me it's going to boil down to the offensive line and interior of the Steelers blocking those defensive tackles. Talked to Vinny Serrato today, my good friend, former GM, built that team at Notre Dame in 88. Said, hey, that's where it's going to be determined up front. Get that interior inside pressure, up the middle pressure against Russell Wilson is key. Now, the Ravens' secondary has struggled mightily. So if he throws it up, they may make some plays on the Ravens. But certainly right now, Lamar is playing great football. The receivers, obviously, they're a little inconsistent at times. He's got a lot to throw to. He's kind of spread the wealth around this year. And then Derrick Henry doing his thing. The offensive line's progressed with the Ravens. But I think everybody seems to believe that the defense or that defensive tackle tandem for the Ravens could kind of take over things. Got a rookie at guard, a rookie interior of that offensive line. That's where the Ravens have to do their damage.
Always appreciate you, Mel. I know you got a whole like Family Feud thing going on this weekend involving Ravens and Steelers. So make sure there's no blood getting on the carpets. Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
I got my little beautiful 3-month-old on my side.
That's right. That's right. That's always a blessing. Thank you, brother.
Thanks,
Mel.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend, man.
Always a pleasure. I'm Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN NFL Draft Expert. Like I mentioned, great follow on Twitter at Mel Kiper. We got a college football doubleheader tomorrow. It's number 17 Colorado. They will host Utah, followed by number 23 Missouri at number 21 South Carolina. Both of those games presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 11:30 Eastern Time right here on ESPN Radio and your ESPN app.
Football Sunday on ESPN Radio.
Chiefs find a way to make one fewer mistake than everybody else every single week.
Undefeated at 9-0. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs face Josh Allen and the 8-2 Buffalo Bills.
Touchdown, Bills!
Coverage begins Sunday at 4 Eastern on select ESPN radio stations.
He is Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman on the Love Friday edition of Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as tune in. Don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Another reason why I want this show to be simulcast, for the whatever stylings that Harry Douglas is doing, why were you doing this whole dance, you know, Bollywood kind of thing you had going on there?
I'm shimmying my shoulders a little bit.
I know
our producer, the great and one and only Shannon Penn, he's a Kappa. And we had this, you know, fraternity talk before we got on air today. So
okay.
I just wanted to show Shannon that he's not the only one that can wiggle his little shoulders.
Wow. That's all I got to say about that. Are you a frat guy? Are you a frat guy? Because I'm out for Cairo, as a matter of fact.
I'm an untamed gorilla. That's what I
part
am.
Part of the UGs, the untamed gorillas.
I saw Dev throwing up the hugs early.
Nobody wasn't spanking me.
Well, no one was spanking us in our fraternities, part of initiation. Yeah. Nobody was doing that. I can't speak with Cabot Brothers. I know they didn't do that. Alpha Cairo. I know they didn't do that.
I don't know what you're talking about. Never
which
happened.
Which means they did, as a matter of fact. So we're going to get a little bit out of this and move from the records of fraternities. When it comes to records of these teams, you know how good the Eagles are and the Lions in the NFC. You know how good the Bills are, the Ravens, and the Chiefs in the AFC. But the other teams out there, they have good records, they have bad records, but are they better than the bad, or are they as good as the good? So we bring in Shannon Penn, and we started off with
the Los Angeles Chargers.
Hi, Harry. Los Angeles Chargers. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh are making an effect there, but are the Chargers as good as their record are at 6-3 right now?
I think this is a good football team. Also, they're a well-coached football team. And now, when you look at their schedule, you're not going to point to any pivotal wins. Their wins are over the Raiders, the Carolina Panthers, the Denver Broncos, the Saints, the Browns, the Titans. But when you look at their three losses to the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Cardinals, that game, all three of those games could have went either way. Very close matchups. Sure. I love the way this defense is playing for the Los Angeles Chargers as well. So I believe they're a good football team, but they have a big one this Sunday night. And then right after this big one on Sunday night, they play the Baltimore Ravens. So two games in a row where I view as measuring sticks for this football team.
They're not as good as their record that they says they are. And believe me, Harry, I'm with you. They didn't get blown out by the Cardinals, lost by 2. Did not get blown up by the Chiefs, lost by 7. Did not get blown up by the Pittsburgh Steelers, they lost by 10. But those three teams are litmus test teams. So I know Jim Harbaugh can win games. I'm not surprised at 6-3, but they're not as good as their record. But you know what? By December 16th, we'll find out. Their games, Bengals Sunday night, Ravens after that, Falcons after that, Chiefs after that, Buccaneers after that. Whether the Buccaneers don't have a good record, but that's 60 minutes of hell that you don't want to deal with. They Baker Mayfield plays and the defense gets after people. So as of right now, I'm going to say no. It could be an entirely different conversation by December 23rd after that 5-game stretch involving the Los Angeles Chargers.
The Minnesota Vikings.
All right, Freddie. The Minnesota Vikings currently sitting at 7-2. We know Parcells says you are as good as what your record says you are, but the Vikings, 7-2. Is that record real for you?
It's real for me, but now the quarterback is giving me pause when it comes to Sam Darnold. Because remember, they beat the Packers by 2. They were down double digits twice to the Lions and then took a 29-28 lead against that football team. And with the Rams game, that just got out of control. So I want to say yes, but their quarterback, Harry Douglas, is giving me reason to pause because Sam Darnold, he's looked like Sam Arnold lately, not Sam Darnold in the beginning of the year when he had 11 touchdowns and 4 interceptions after the first 5 games of the year.
Yeah, I know the one question mark is going to be the quarterback position is Sam Darnold, but I believe his football team is as good as their record says they are. You look at the quality wins that they have versus San Francisco, Houston, Green Bay. Those are quality teams, right? Mm-hmm. And you got the Indianapolis Colts who are still fighting for a playoff spot right now currently as they're constructed, as they said that, you know, we're going to let Anthony Richardson be the starting quarterback again. They keep playing quarterback shuffle. But I do believe in Brian Flores as a defensive play caller. Also, Kevin O'Connell as a head coach and an offensive play caller that he's going to put guys in the proper positions. And then when you have the best wide receiver in the game in Justin Jefferson, that says a lot. Jordan Addison isn't a slouch. TJ right. Hockenson is back. So I really believe the Minnesota Vikings are what their record say they are.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, Harry. Cincinnati Bengals currently sitting at 4-6 right now. Are the Bengals as bad as their record says they are?
No, they're not. This is actually a better football team than a lot of people probably want to admit right now. Now, their defense has kind of held them back, but they easily could have won just about every game that they've lost this season. It came down to crucial moments, and they haven't been able to close the deal. The Philadelphia Eagles game is the only one that they really got blown out. But Joe Burrow is playing top-notch football. Ja'Marr Chase is leading the league in just about every category you can think about from a wide receiver perspective. And they're going to get T. Higgins back, who's been bottled by injury the last few weeks. So I think this team is a lot better than what the 4-6 record tells us they are.
No, they've earned the right to be 4-6. I go back to week one versus the Patriots, where they lost 16-10. And then you had the pass interference penalty against the Chiefs. You also had the Commanders game, losing that by 5 in a firefight in a short week. You lost to the Ravens in another firefight by 3. You got blown out by the Eagles by 20 on your home field, those beautiful white uniforms and white helmets. And then you lost by one of the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, they're a 4-6 football team, because if you are that good, you don't find a way to have those losses go constantly against you, whether you had something to do with it or not. So, yeah, those Bengals, they're not the Bungles, but they've earned the right to be 4-6. They've earned that record because they had not been able to deliver when they really needed to do so.
The San Francisco 49ers.
All right, Freddie. San Francisco 49ers currently sitting at 5-4 right now. Is that record right now indicative of how good this team is, or should they be better than their 5-4 record?
No, it's indicative because they lost to the Vikings by 6. They lost to the Rams by 3. Division records are like that. Lost to the Cardinals by 1. We know the Cardinals are pretty good. And then the Chiefs put it on them, losing by 10 points. So, yeah, they beat the Jets. Congratulations, you want a cookie. You beat the Patriots, you get another cookie. They beat the Cowboys. Come on, that's like pouring water on a drowning man. And they only beat them by 6. And they beat the Buccaneers by 3 when they should have won that game by a little bit more. So, yeah, they are supposed to be 5-4 because that's where they are. Now, can they get healthier? That's starting to happen. We'll have a different conversation about this team, in my opinion, in about 5 weeks.
Yeah, they are where they are right now currently, and that's the way I view it. They're 5-4. But as you mentioned, Freddie, what we've seen from this football team over the last few years, it has shown and it's documented, when they get healthy and their players are all there, and I get it, Brandon Ayuk is not going to come back, he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
We've seen a difference in this football team across the board in all three phases.
The Arizona Cardinals.
All right, Harry, Arizona Cardinals currently sitting at 6-4. First placed in the NFC West right now. You saw them last week in person. Are the Cardinals as good as their 6-4 record indicates?
I'm going to say yes. This is a football team a lot of people forgot. Week one, they had the Buffalo Bills on the brinks.
They were kicking them behind and taking names.
They had them on the brinks. And if it wasn't for a few plays in the second half, Buffalo literally could have came out of there with a loss. Let's not forget, they only lost 20-13 to the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. This team is one of the most well-coached teams across the board in the NFL. They have a quarterback in Kyler Murray who has shown extreme growth.
Yep.
He's not just throwing the football any and everywhere. He's being precise and has that precision. The run game with James Conner has been effective. Mm-hmm. Buda Baker is a damn human missile on the defensive side of the ball. And if you don't account for him, ask Aaron Rodgers. He will wreck your game. So I think this football team is a lot better than the people give them credit for.
They've won 4 in a row. It could be 9 in a row. Check out the games they got next. At the Seattle Seahawks, division games are never easy, but they can win that game. At the Minnesota Vikings, we know how good they are defensively. They can get after the Vikings. Home versus Seattle, home versus the Patriots, improvement not that much. And at the Carolina Panthers, before the end of the season, the Rams and 49ers. Yeah, I think they could be better than their 6-4 record right now, because everything you said, and Kyler Murray being the kind of quarterback that people wonder, could he adapt? Well, hell yeah, and now they're really creating big plays in that offense with the running game with James Conner as well. And that defense, you're right, that defense – good luck trying to deal with that defense, the way they can come at you with exotic schemes and having the ability to have players take advantage of mismatches. Hey, this Cardinals earned the right to be 6-4. I think they could be even better than that because the schedule is breaking their favor. We may be looking at a potential 12-13 win team that nobody's talking about when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals. We could be saying the same thing about two teams about to face each other this Sunday. The Pittsburgh Steelers on one side and Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens on the other side. Going into this game, you can hear exactly how the Pittsburgh Steelers have owned Lamar Jackson. What can he do to reverse that? We'll get to that on Freddie and Harry and ESPN Radio after Harry gives you this from Vivid Seats.
Vivid Seats. I mean, Vivid Seats, folks.
Vivid Seats.
How could you not love them? Is your ultimate football destination for all the gridiron action. With a game-changing rewards program and an unbeatable selection of tickets, they make it easy for every fan to watch their favorite teams and players in action. See every tackle, toe drag catch, and touchdown live and in person from your favorite seat. Plus, every ticket is backed with a 100% buyer guarantee, giving you a peace of mind with every single purchase. Don't miss out. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of who? ESPN.
Vivid Seats.
Oh, he's got it.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and moneyline, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's the Love Friday edition of Freddie and Harry, presented by Progressive Insurance. Got my man Harry Douglas. I'm just merely Freddie Coleman. We're here on SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Oh, there'll be no love on Sunday. In Pittsburgh, Steelers at 7-2, Baltimore Ravens at 7-3, and Lamar Jackson's never gotten any love from the Steelers defense. Not should he expect to have that happen. 1-3 against the Steelers as a starting quarterback of Baltimore. They're one of only three teams with a winning record against Lamar Action Jackson. He has barely completed 54% of his passes, accounted for 858 yards, four touchdowns, seven interceptions, and seven fumbles. Lamar Jackson has no answer why he's had that lack of success in four games as a starting quarterback against the boys from the Steel City.
I don't know what it is, man. It's just that I believe that rival atmosphere. I believe last year we supposed to have them, but things just didn't go our way. You know, the football guys wasn't on our side, but it's a whole nother year. It's a new year. I'm looking forward to the game.
Yeah, when it comes to Lamar Jackson facing the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think one of the things that stands out to me is the inability to take care of the football. And when you look at over the years, you want to play, you know, clean football, precise football, not give your opponent any leeway to take advantage of anything that you may have done. In this matchup on Sunday, if Lamar is not going to take care of the football, then it's going to be hard for the Baltimore Ravens to win this game. And I also say that's pivotal because of what the secondary looks like in the pass defense of the Baltimore Ravens. Okay. When your pass defense is 32nd in the league, and they can't stop a nosebleed, and they've given up 500-100-yard gains to four different people because Ja'Marr Chase has done that twice against the Baltimore Ravens, then the margin of error is thin. And that means you have to be that much more careful and crucial and critical, I would say, holding the football and not giving it to the opposing team. Yeah.
All that is 100% correct. He will not have to worry about that on Sunday. Whatever happened in the past is not going to happen on Sunday. I'm going to give you two reasons why. Number one, the Washington Commanders put up 24 points in over three quarters versus the Steelers. And I know the Ravens' offense is better than the Washington Commanders. Don't be surprised they put up at least 28 points, maybe even 35. Number two, this is the best personnel he's ever had as a Ravens quarterback. He will not have to try to overcome the sins of guys on offense that could not step up. When you got King Henry in the backfield, you got Zay Flowers, you got a two-headed monster tight end when it comes to Mark Andrews and also Isaiah Likely, you got Rashad Bateman coming into his own. You finally, for the first time, Lamar Jackson has no excuse against Pittsburgh because now you got some dudes. Now you got guys where it's not just you that if you don't make a play, this offense is screwed. No, it's the Sunday. If you don't make a play, Derrick Henry's got your back. The tight ends got your back. The wide receivers got your back. Your defense is going to be hot garbage more than likely, but I'll say this. After hearing for 10 days how bad you are, don't be surprised that defense plays just a little bit better than what we've seen, especially against a Steelers team that offensively has been more efficient, no doubt about that, with Russell Wilson as the quarterback. But this is why I believe all those fumble problems and Lamar Jackson, I don't know what happened. Maybe the sun was in my eye, I had the wrong pair of pants on. For the first time in a game like this against Pittsburgh, he does not have a personnel problem. And that's why I believe all those problems in the past were not – Steelers defense is fantastic, no doubt about that. But for the first time in a game like this, he won't have to worry about playing left-handed because he's got enough personnel around him to make a difference against the Steelers team. Like I mentioned, gave up 24 points in three quarters plus versus Washington on Sunday and almost had a chance to lose that game if the official decided to move the ball by Zach Ertz that he caught just a little bit past the line of scrimmage and a little bit past that yard marker. We could be having a different conversation about not only the Commanders but also the Steelers coming into this game.
So if I'm the Baltimore Ravens, when it gets to the pass game, a person that I'm probably going to attack is going to be Joey Porter Jr. He single-handedly basically handed the Washington Commanders a touchdown before halftime last week with three penalties.
Sure.
He's a guy that can get grabby, entirely too touchy, and we know in the NFL, past 5 yards, you cannot be that way. I would also say this. When you look at the Baltimore Ravens and their defense, it's kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're first against the run, they're fourth in sacking the quarterback, mm-hmm. but they're 32nd in pass defense.
Which makes no sense.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, the run defense and the pass defense, are they going to coexist in the defensive line and secondary and join together one time to be great? Because that hasn't been the case up until this point right now when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens and their defense. And also, can the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line block the defensive line of what we see of the Baltimore Ravens?
You mentioned about the Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman together, and Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio. You mentioned about the Ravens and the ability to get to the quarterback. They haven't gotten those big third down sacks, though. And that's been a problem. We saw that versus Cincinnati. They got pressure on first and second down against Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, but they were never able to get off the field on third down. And that is a major, major problem. Now you're facing a team in Pittsburgh that they know they have to get ahead of the sticks. They can't be in second and nine or third and 12. As bad as the pass defense is, that's a recipe for disaster if you're constantly facing that as an offense. But if you're the Baltimore Ravens on the back end, the best way to have your back end is to make sure when you get to the quarterback, don't just get near him and breathe on him. Get near him and knock him down, and especially on third downs. That has been a major, major problem because Pittsburgh gets off the field on third down. Yep. If they got third and long, even third and medium, they find a way to make sure they put their hands on the quarterback. That quarterback's going to go down, and he's going to go down hot when it comes to Steelers defense. If you're the Ravens, I know you can get pressure on the quarterback, but it's when you get it to get off the field, to not allow drive to continue, or if you get a big sack on first down, you don't allow them to make it up on second and third downs. The Steelers are fantastic at that on defense. The Ravens have stunk at that on defense all year long.
I also want to see how Baltimore is going to play George Pickens. And I think, you know, the run game of Pittsburgh, if that run game is having success, now we know more defenders got to come in the box. And now the one-on-one balls to George Pickens and Mike Williams, bigger receivers down the football field against a secondary we know is mediocre, can come into play. I actually picked George Pickens to be on That Boy Could Be Bad on SportsCenter yesterday because of the secondary and what we've seen the Baltimore Ravens defense give up in the pass game this season.
Yeah, it's going to be a case of the irresistible force and the immovable object. The irresistible force, the Baltimore Ravens, and the way they're able to just generate offense. A team like what they've been able to do, averaging over 32 points a game against a Steelers defense that is only giving them a little bit more than 16 points a game. Only the Los Angeles Chargers are better in terms of points allowed per game. That's why Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach, oh, you rascal, I know what you're trying to do by buttering up Lamar Jackson.
I just respect what he's capable of doing. I see continual evolution in him, and I've seen that since they drafted him. There's always a component of his game that's moving forward, and I just think it speaks to not only his talent, but his approach to business and their approach to business. He's got a unique skill set. He and they always appear to be evolving in terms of maximizing that skill set, and I just have a lot of respect for it.
Yeah, you rascal. You know this team's coming in, what they're able to do, averaging over 440 yards per game, over 30-plus. Completely 100% from the Phil Jackson school of make sure your opponent believes and know that they're better than who they are. you old rascal, Mike Tomlin. I know you got a game plan with your defense to try to make sure Lamar Jackson and that offense does not do to you what they've done to just about every other defense so far leading into this game.
Did you see what he said about Deontay Johnson? Someone asked him about Deontay Johnson, and I'm paraphrasing here. He basically said, well, the Baltimore Ravens have far more weapons for me to be worried about that's too high concerned than Deontay Johnson. Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. Tell me you was ready to get him out of the building without telling me you was ready to get him out the building.
Well, on the other side, if you're Deontay Johnson, just like they said in the movie, Million Dollar Baby, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to let a coach talk that bad, having your name in his mouth and talk about you that way? All right, Deontay Johnson, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix that? How are you going to throw it in the face of Mike Tomlin? If you go out there and you play like a ragamuffin, then you confirmed what he said about you. So what are you going to do about Deontay Johnson? He can talk it. How are you going to walk it? When it comes to that, Ravens, Steelers, 1 o'clock.
Ooh-wee.
I don't care who you're rooting for, who you're rooting against. That's going to be a fun matchup involving those two.
It's going to be a very physical game.
Oh, yeah. Especially in Pittsburgh. They're going to come from Sunday Mass. They done said all the prayers and Hail Marys as Steelers
fans.
I'll be honest
with you. For this rivalry game, they might skip Sunday Mass for this one.
No, they
may listen to it, you know, they may watch it or listen to it online.
All right, I'm telling you right now. I used to date a Catholic. Those Catholics don't miss Mass on Sundays. I don't care what time that game is starting. They're going to be in church. They're going to be having their holy rosaries and Hail Marys and all that stuff and dipping the holy water. Those Catholics in Pittsburgh, they ain't missing church. I'm telling you right now.
They're not missing it.
They'll be there. They'll have an early service, but they're going to be there by 1 o'clock. When those two get together with the Steelers 7-2 and the Ravens 7-3. He's Harry Douglas. Hit him on Twitter at HDouglas83. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on Twitter at ColemanESPN. Bringing you the Love Friday edition of Freddie and Harry, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're all about trying to make as much money as we can for you. How do we do that? We play the numbers game so you can get the numbers more on your side, in your favor. That's ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/network.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No, don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
I don't know how heaven. Could be better than that.
Especially comes a Love Friday edition of Freddie and Harry. He is Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as tune in and also your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We love money. We know you love money. How can we make sure you get more of it by the time the weekend is over? Oh, a little something that we like to call...
Is it going over?
I think we're over.
Or will the under hit?
It's a lock.
It's a lock, right?
Wrong.
It's NFL prop time.
Hit it.
This is Hit That Number.
We bring our man, the pride of St. Bonaventure University, Devin Kane, by the way. I'll get a chance to call the game involving St. Bonaventure University and my school, Manchester University, this Wednesday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time on ESPN+. I have a chance to be a part of that broadcast on ESPN+ this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So, Mr. Bonnie, yourself, Devin Kane, make sure we hit that number to make people a little bit more money until Monday.
Let's make some money. I love money. All right, Harry, you're up first. Zay Flowers, over under 5.5 receptions. He is playing the Steelers. You're going over under.
Well, first, let me say this. Make the money. Don't let the money make you, Dev. I am going under with this.
Are you quoting the Players
one.
Club?
Yeah.
Well done by you.
100%.
Somewhere Lisa McCoy is liking that.
I'm going under with this one. Zay Flowers has only hit this once within the last four games. So I'm going under.
I'm going to say over. I think he gets the 7 catches. I don't know if it's going to be for a lot of yardage because the Pittsburgh Steelers, you may catch the ball, but then they catch you. They don't allow you to have a lot of yards after contact, but I think he can get 7. It won't be 10 yards per catch, but I'll take the over on that one involving Zay Flowers.
All right, Freddie, Caleb Williams, Bears quarterback, over under 199.5 passing yards this weekend. They're playing the Packers.
Under to the 25th power. Oldest rivalry in the National Football League. Packers still smarting after what happened 2 weeks ago in their home field at the Lions. And now I got a quarterback with a new offensive coordinator. Yeah, I'm hammering that under of $199.5 when it comes to Caleb Williams.
Exactly why I'm going under, because of what the Detroit Lions did to that Green Bay Packers defense and the feeling that they had coming off that field, in which was at Lambeau. So I'm going under with this one. Hopefully Caleb Williams can get things going at some point. And a lot of the negativity can get out of his ballpark.
Aaron Rodgers, Jets quarterback, over under 1.5 passing touchdowns. The Jets are playing the Colts, HD, over under.
I'm going under. Aaron Rodgers just hasn't looked good this season. I don't believe in him right now. I don't have faith in Aaron Rodgers. Also, when it comes to defeating the cover zero blitz, they still haven't figured that out. Communication has still been an issue. I'm going under here.
The only thing missing from the Washington Aaron Rodgers is Purcell. That's where he is right now when it comes to that. I'm with you, Harry. Now watch. He'll probably throw for 3 touchdowns. Give Jets fans that kind of boss kind of hope. Mike Greenberg on get up. We'll start talking about playoffs and maybe they can make a run. But I'm with you. I don't think he gets 1 touchdown pass. I think that's going to be a 0. That's going to be under for Aaron Rodgers.
All right, Freddie. Anthony Richardson, he's back for the Colts. Over under 174.5 passing yards. Again, they are playing the Jets.
I'm going to say under because he's going to run for a little bit more. That's going to supplement the yardage that he's going to attain. Now, if he gets the $175, that means either he's completely cured himself of what happened earlier this year or the Colts are hopelessly down by a lot against the Jets. So I'm going to say under by a little bit. I don't think he'll need to throw for that much for the Colts to beat the Jets.
I'm going over. I just don't believe in the Jets defense right now either. The game I just called versus the Arizona Cardinals, they were terrible. They had no idea what was going on from a play call standpoint. They didn't anticipate anything. This is a team that's deflated right now currently at the moment. I think this is a get back right game for Anthony Richardson, not just throwing the football, but also rushing.
A little hit that number, a.k.a. NFL props over and under with the help from Devin Kane, one of our producers, with me, Freddie Coleman, and Harry Douglas on Freddie and Harry and ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
All right, HD, Ja'Marr Chase, Bengals wide receiver, over under 79.5 receiving yards. They are taking on the Chargers.
This is a tricky one because the Chargers defense is really, really good. I would also say, though, in order for the Cincinnati Bengals to win this football game, Ja'Marr Chase has to have more than 79.5 yards. So I'm going over in those regards because they're trying to stay afloat. And if they lose this game, the Cincinnati Bengals, that is, they are totally out of the playoff contention.
Cam Hart and Christian Fulton, you better make sure you stay next to Ja'Marr Chase. Those are the corners from the Los Angeles Chargers. Yeah, he's going to get over 100. When you are that dude and you're playing at a dude level like that, it's not about what the defense is going to try to do. It's about what you're going to do to that defense. I got him going much over than a 79.5 receiving yards.
All right, real quick, Freddie. Ravens Steelers, over under 48.5 total points. It's the largest of the weekend. You're going over under?
A little under. I'll say about 46. That'll be the point total involving these two. I'll go under.
Yeah, I'm going under as well. This is the Ravens and Steelers rivalry. Physical is at the forefront of everything.
You got to patent that, by the way. You really do. Because somebody will steal that from you and say, you know, I like that. I'll give you credit once. I'm going to steal it. You got to patent that before somebody takes it away
from
you.
Hit him with a little Richard. Shut up.
Yeah, that's okay. Hit him with a lawsuit. Make sure they get taken care of that way.
Bingo.
Freddie Coleman, Harry Douglas together on Love Friday edition of Freddie and Harry. And Josh Allen can't be this superhero if they're going to beat Kansas City. That's next.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.